A quorum is present. The colors will be posted today by members of the Boy Scout Troop, number 215 from Sheridan, Travis Duvall, Nathan Butt, Ethan Beener, and Nicholas Juarez. Then we will have the Pledge of Allegiance, and Senator Frank Morris will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Today's invocation, Pastor Rob Gornstead, the Peace Lutheran Church here in Salem.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you have blessed our state with an abundance of beauty, produce, and loving people. Grant to our senators a wisdom of stewardship, heartfelt compassion, and a just approach to the welfare of all our citizens. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to thank Pastor Bornstead for coming here today and providing us the invocation. Extend the courtesies of the Senate to him. Thank you. Again, to Travis Duvall, Nathan Butt, Ethan Beener, and Nicholas Juarez, they were the members of Troop 215, Boy Scout Troop from Sheridan, and they were the ones who did the posting colors today. Thank you, Senator. Courtesy of the Senate, recognize Senator Dave Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. It's my honor again to reintroduce Alex Featherstone. She was my intern. She has been gone a month, but she just couldn't stay away. So much fun. Please welcome her back.
Welcome back, Alex. You've come back at a very difficult time. You may wish you'd stayed away in the next 2 weeks. But thank you for being willing to put up with this. Thank you. Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would request you extend courtesies to my guest today. Georgette Campbell is the stepdaughter of Laura Campbell, my legislative assistant. She's 11. She attends the St. Joseph School, sixth grade. Mr. President, these are known as the Cardinals. This is her first visit on the floor today, and she is interested to learn what we do and how we do it. So, Mr. President, please extend courtesies. Thank you.
Thank you. Georgette, thank you for coming here today. Is that the St. Joseph School over here? Where is the St. Joseph School that she attends?
Mr. President, it's in Vancouver.
Vancouver. That's a different St. Joseph School than my kids went to. So, anyway, Georgette, my sons also went to a St. Joseph School, so I like St. Joseph Schools. So have a good day. We're very pleased you're here. I'd like to extend the courtesy of Senate to you. Thank you. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request the Senate extend courtesies to the remaining members of Scout Troop 215. This is the fifth year they have come here. They're here today to complete their requirements for citizenship in the nation and citizenship in the world merit badges. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Yes. Are they in the back? Yes. Oh, yes. To all the members of the Troop 215. Thank you. Did a good job posting colors today. It's an honor and a privilege to have you. Thanks for coming over from Sheridan to your state capital. Thank you very much. Are there further courtesies? Remonstrances? I recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I wanted to follow up on a discussion we had on the floor yesterday when I was asked a question about House Bill 3021 from the good senator from Hillsborough. The answer to the question came in electronically, probably while I was speaking, but not being one who has my computer on my desk, I have to now give the answer that came in about the assumed minimum wage. It's based on the assumed wage under that bill, colleagues, is based on minimum wage standards. That's the practice for most counties already. This answer to the question came from the Oregon Law Commission as I was speaking, and I wanted to pass that along. Our lifeline from the Oregon Law Commission. So that is the answer to the question. Sorry it's so late in coming, but I wanted to pass that along. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further remonstrances? Message from the Governor.
Mr. President, I'm directed by Governor Fleming has approved and signed the following bills. Senate bills 34, 105, 127, 144, 159, 218, 449, 599, 664, 55, 50, 61, 115, 128, 151, 166, 298, 469, 601, 739, 72, 120, 142, 154, 191, 316, 577, 60, 16, 745, 104, 122, 143, 157, 202, 371, 582, 663, and 759.
Message from the House.
Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, informing his House has passed House Bills 2616, 3104, Senate Bill 496, concurrence amendments repassed House Bills 2074, 2084, 2228, 2700, 2739, 3056, 3487, House Bill 3039, House refused to concur in Senate amendments, Conference Committee reappointed. Senate Bill 973, Representatives Holley, Cowan, and Krieger appointed to be House conferencees. Speaker has, House has passed, House Bill 3106, House Bill 3039, Representative Reed, Chair, Representative Galizio and Gilliam appointed to be House conferencees. House Bill 3089, Representative Clem, Chair, Krieger and Schaffler appointed to be House conferencees. Speaker has signed Senate Bills 70, 174, 177, 269, 373, 428, 512, 515, 556, 580, 605, 609, 636, 679, 687, 691, 735, 821, 862, 867, 876, 929, 942, SCR 14 and 15. Speaker has also signed House Bills 2095, 2137, 2247, 2331, 2349, 2453, 2641, 2646, 2952, 2968, 2970, 3022, 3097, 3162, 3194, 3345, 3470, 3471, 3474, HGR 7, HGR 12, and 37, Senate Bills 5, 10, 23, 46, 66, 82, 183, 536, 543, 561, 583, 589, 590, 594, 610, 646, 689, 729, 839, 850, 863, 875, 901, 911, 915, 916, 928, 970, and SJR 16.
Without objection, we'll proceed to the first reading of House measures.
House Bill 2616, Local Government Tobacco Taxes and Government to Date. House Bill 3104, with Information for Claiming Veterans Benefits, Declaring Emergency. House Bill 3106, with Inertial Research, Appropriate Money, Declaring Emergency.
Transmit to the President's desk for referral. We will now resume under the General Order of Business reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees in accordance with SR 8.551 Committee Report Summary Number 126, which is distributed to members today. This information will be recorded in the Journal and State Report and so ordered. Reports from special committees. Proposition motion. Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats request a 15-minute recess for purposes of a Democratic caucus.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Ted Farrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Republicans likewise request a 15-minute caucus off the floor.
The Senate will go into recess until 10:20. Senate is now in recess.
Do you want Margaret up for caucus?
Well...
The Senate will please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monith Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Ferger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here.
Today.
Quorum is present. Senate recessed under the order. Proposition motion will presume under that motion. It is so ordered. Recognize Senator Devlin. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the consideration of the committee and minority report to House Bill 2831 be taken from their place on today's calendar and placed on the Tuesday, June 23rd calendar.
Senator Devlin has moved that the consideration of the committee and the minority report of House Bill 2831 be taken from their place in today's calendar and placed on Tuesday, June 23rd. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. We believe that will be the best day for consideration of that bill.
Is there further discussion? The question is on taking the committee report and the minority report of House Bill 2831 from today's calendar and placing it on Tuesday, June 23rd. All those in favor say aye. Aye. And those opposed, no. This motion is carried. Recognize Senator Brzozinski. Senator Brzozinski will go now. Do you have the motion, Senator Brzozinski?
Mr. Chair, I've been given, I guess I'm going to move House Bill 2802 be taken from its place on this, today's calendar and referred to the Rules Committee.
Senator Brzozinski has moved that House Bill 2802 be taken from its place on today's calendar and be referred to the Rules Committee. To your motion, please.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. I apologize regarding the board. I saw what bills up there, and I knew that wasn't the one I was supposed to be speaking on. House Bill 2802 has reached a situation that we need to put it in the Rules Committee for additional discussion. This is something that we should not need to be debating today here on the floor, and so the motion is to move it to Rules where we can have a broader discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there discussion of this motion? Is there further discussion? All those in favor of referring House Bill 2802 to the Rules Committee will please say aye. Aye. And those opposed, no. This motion has carried. Recognize Senator Brzozinski, please.
All right, Mr. President, I think we're back on in proposition motions. I move that the Senate concur on the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 241.
Senator Brzezinski has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 2412. Your motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this is the bill that went over the House side. The House made a few technical changes within the bounds of what we had passed in under the original bill. So I ask that we repass the bill as amended. Thank you.
Discussion? Those are the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 241. We'll answer ayes. The names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Munson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. President Courtney.
Yes. He's not in Ways and Means.
Not answering. Bates.
He's in Ways and Means. I think, is he? I don't know where he is. Where?
Excused. Burdick, Carter, absent, Bates, 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 241, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. I will move Senate Bill 2495 to today to the foot of the county, the foot of the calendar without objection. Recognize Senator Brzezinski, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate concur with the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 963.
Senator Brzezinski has moved the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 963. To your motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is another case just like the one we just did. This is one that the House got hold of, made a few minor technical changes. I spoke to the proponents of the bill. They are fine with it, so we need to just repass the technical amendments. Thank you.
Discussion, please. Those who are of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 963 will answer ayes. Name to call those opposed. No. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Munson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Burdick, Carter, voting no. Ferrioli, Girard, Cruz, 25 ayes.
The Senate Bill 963, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repass. Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I move that House Bill 2004 be taken from its place on today's third reading calendar and made a special order of business immediately.
Devlin has moved that House Bill 2004 be taken from its place on today's third calendar and made a special order of business immediately. To your motion, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. As colleagues may remember, this bill was set over to today. The carrier wanted it to be brought up as the first order of business today.
Is there discussion? The question is on taking House Bill 2004 from today's third reading calendar and taking it and making it a special order of business immediately. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed, no. This motion has carried. We will now proceed to the special order of business. Would the clerk please read the bill?
House Bill 2004, relating to check off on income tax returns for political contributions and prescribing an effective date.
Recognize Senator Bill Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, this is a very important bill that both sides of the aisle have an interest in. In fact, there is a letter at your desk signed by Chairman Bob Tiernan of the Republican Party, State Republican Party, and Chairwoman Meredith Wood Smith of the Democratic Party of Oregon. This is a bill that would reinstitute, establish the Oregon Political Party Fund. It allows a resident individual taxpayer filling a full-year tax return to designate a contribution made to the Oregon Political Party Fund. Each contribution may be up to $3 per taxpayer, reduces the amount of tax refund due. So actually this is paid for by the individuals who are making this contribution, and is directed to the major and minor political parties designated on the tax form. So the tax form would have the political parties, major and minor, who are eligible to receive this. This could be a, if it's a joint return, each individual can designate that to the individual they want to designate it to. So the letter on your floor, I hope you have a chance to look at it. Today we come together to write in support of House Bill 2004. While we might differ on political ideology, we both have spent our lives engaging citizens to get more involved in the political process. It is only through an engaged electorate that we truly have a representative democracy. Now, Jim Klonowski, who originated the original, he was a proponent of the original checkoff bill. We had a remembrance service, our floor bill, earlier for him. And it's kind of interesting because we have three members, at least three members on the, in this body, one Republican and two Democrats, who were students of Professor Klonowski, and there were a couple of members in the House. And there was a lot of testimony in support and of his, the lesson that he taught in terms of engagement. My personal relationship with Jim Klonowski was when I was the chairman of the Lane County Democratic Party in 1978. He was the chairman of the state Democratic Party. And I spent a lot of time talking and listening to Jim talk about involvement. And it wasn't just with the Democratic Party. He was very passionate about getting people personally involved, and this certainly is one of the ways of doing it, is to allow the individuals to make contributions. In fact, one of the emails I received in support of this was from a woman who is a retailer, and she said, you know, I do have a penny jar next to my cash register, and it's amazing how much we accumulate over time from people putting in their pennies. Well, this is kind of like a penny jar. It's a tax. It's a checkoff that comes from your tax return. It's your money that you're contributing, but it's a small amount, and it's, in a sense, a token, but it's also a commitment. If a person does this, they are more likely than to go out and do other things. So I think this is a great opportunity to pay tribute not only to Jim Klonowski, but to both political, all political parties, the major and the minor parties. We have an opportunity to support them with this bill. So I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Vicki Walker, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in support of this bill. The good senator from Lynn and Lane counties did a good job of outlining the bill. I just want to point out that unlike the Presidential Election Campaign Fund, which is a contribution checkoff you can take on your tax return, this contribution is voluntary, and it will is also voluntary, but it will reduce your refund. But I will say that in the 4 years of operation of this fund previously, from 1977 to 1981 when it sunset, it raised over $1 million, $1 million from the citizens of this state who voluntarily made these small contributions to the political party of their choice. There was discussion in committee when I testified as to, well, why not increase it to have extra boxes for a $3 or a $5 contribution and a $10 contribution, but the Department of Revenue says there's not enough space on the tax return, only on the full year resident return. And young Klonoski boys, when I talked to them, the young Klonoski gentlemen, when I talked to them afterwards, said they wanted to keep it low to really encourage participation, and maybe we'll raise it to $5 for inflation sometime down the road. Because this, when it was first implemented in 1977, it was a $1 checkoff. But, you know, due to inflation, $3 sounds pretty cheap. It's less than a cup of coffee. I keep bringing that up, and I don't even drink the stuff. But my understanding is a good latte is about $4. You can donate $3 to your favorite political party. This is a great way to encourage participation. I really want to thank the Klonoski children for advocating for this in honor of their father, who started the first checkoff. As a former student of Professor Klonoski, we did a resolution honoring his memory earlier this year, and this is the kind of advocacy that he encouraged all of his students to engage in, including his own sons. So, colleagues, this is a great bill. Thank you for your support.
Further discussion? Senator Morissette, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce the Klonoski clan sitting in the gallery. Ann Aiken, wife of Jim Klonoski. Ann, are you up there somewhere? Would you wave? There she is. Judge, Federal Judge Ann Aiken. Zach, who spent countless hours in the chambers talking with people. Nick, where's Nick? Would you wave, please? Nick is not here. Sam? Okay, so Zach, Sam, and Mother Ann Aiken. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
President.
Question now rise upon third reading the final passage of House Bill 2004. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes-Anderson, Monroe, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Ferrioli, 29 ayes.
House Bill 2004, having received a constant majority, is declared passed. Action on executive appointments requiring, we need to go at ease now. We're back from being at ease, and we're under the regular order of Senate business, propositions, and motions, I believe. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senate colleagues. I move the consideration of House Bill 3271 be made a special order of business immediately.
Senator Devlin has moved the consideration of House Bill 3271 be made a special order of business immediately. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill has been on our calendar for a while, and we have not been able to get to it. This bill is going to need a minor correction, I believe. The way that correction is going to occur is there's going to be a non-concurrence by the House, and a conference committee is going to hopefully be set up by both presiding officers, and this is the quickest way to ensure that this bill, which is an omnibus crime bill, actually gets through this process.
Thank you. Discussion. Question is on making House Bill 3271. Be made a special order of business immediately. Those in favor, please say aye. Aye. And those opposed, no. The motion has carried. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 3271, related to crime.
Recognize Senator Foy Pruzanski.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 3271B came out of your Judiciary Committee, came out on a 5-0 vote. Has multiple components since it had a nice relating clause. Areas that are going to be included is increasing the penalty for crime or harassment under certain circumstances. It also is going to create a crime of aggravated harassment. It will also create a crime of vehicular homicide. That's the area that we're going to see a technical fix. tightening down the language to make certain that it's the person who is driving in violation of receiving a court-sanctioned suspension based on committing a crime has knowledge that they are driving, and also that it's based on a conviction, not some other thing. And then lastly, it also will subject individuals to, that are convicted of certain vehicular homicide to certain driving penalties. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Question. I rise upon the third reading the final passage of House Bill 3271. Those in opinion bills to pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Monroe. Morissette. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
House Bill 3271, having received constitutional majority, declared passed. Action on executive appointment requiring the Senate confirmation. Introduction of first reading of Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 5504, Defense Administration, Oregon Department of Aviation, Court of Emergency. Senate Bill 5521, Defense Administration, Department of Environmental Quality, Property Money, and Court of Emergency. Senate Bill 5523, Defense Administration, Oregon Government Ethics Commission, Property Money, and Court of Emergency. Senate Bill 5524, Defense Administration, Office of the Governor, Property Money, and Court of Emergency. Senate Bill 5537, Defense Administration, Oregon Office of Private Health Partnerships, Property Money, and Court of Emergency. Senate Bill 5541, Defense Administration, Secretary of State, Property Money, and Court of Emergency. Senate Bill 5542, Defense Administration, Department of State Lands, and Court of Emergency. Senate Bill 513, Ecosystems Court Emergency. Senate Bill 574, Land Education Service District. Senate Bill 578, Land All Terrain Vehicle Safety and Court Emergency. Senate Bill 676, Land Industrial Hemp, Property Money. Senate Bill 797, Department of Justice, Property Money, Court Emergency. Senate Bill 894, Land Transportation Workforce Development, Court Emergency.
These are passed to the calendar. Third reading of Senate measure. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 5501, Land Finance Administration, Oregon Advocacy Commission's Office, Property Money, and Court Emergency.
Recognize Senator Jackie Winters, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 5501 is the budget bill for the Oregon Advocacy Commission Office. The office was established in 2005 to provide administrative support to the Commissions on Asian Affairs, the Commission on Black Affairs, the Commission on Hispanic Affairs, and the Commission for Women. The Commission are charged in statute with working to establish economic, social, legal, and political equality for their respective communities. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a general fund budget of $448,432 and two full-time equivalent positions to support office operations and other funds budget of $75,000 to allow the Commission to spend projected donation revenues. The general fund budget is 2.9% below the essential budget level. The other funds' revenue projections and expenditure limitations were reduced to more closely reflect historical patterns. The committee approved the deletion of four key performance measures that did not reach the level of being key measures. Of the three remaining key performance measures, the committee recommend revising the target on one and having the targets reflect biennial rather than annual reporting. The committee also directed the agency to follow reporting requirements during the 2011 biennium. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means General Government Subcommittee, your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5501 as amended.
Thank you. Discussion. Question now rises upon 30 and final passage of House Bill 5501. Those opinion bills passed. The ayes opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
No.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Mons Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Brzozinski. Voting no. Atkinson. George. 28 ayes.
The Senate Bill 5501 having received constitutional majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 5510 with the Finance Administration Colby River Gorge Commission Appropriate Money Emergency.
Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 5510 is the appropriation bill for the Columbia River Gorge Commission. The commission was authorized by the 1986 Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area Act and then created through an interstate compact between Oregon and Washington. The compact took effect upon ratification by the United States Congress. These actions established the commission as a permanent regional agency with responsibility for land use policy in the 292,000-acre National Scenic Area. The Interstate Compact requires Oregon and Washington to equally share commission operating costs. So if Washington raises or lowers their amount, then we have to do likewise. The budget recommended by the Subcommittee on Natural Resources is $861,000 general fund dollars and $73,030 in other funds. This is a 20.1% decrease in general funds and a 13.3% decrease in total funds from the 2007-09 legislatively approved budget. In addition, the subcommittee has set aside a $25,000 special purpose appropriation that I'll talk about in a moment to be established in the emergency board fund to supplement the commission budget to be in parity with the state of Washington. Here's where we get the $25,000 and why it's here. The subcommittee expressed extreme concerns about Klickitat County's failure to adopt ordinances to implement the National Scenic Act and the Commission's allocation of resources for work performed in each state. Two budget notes and the $25,000 special purpose appropriation previously mentioned will address these issues to force the state of Washington to lean on Klickitat County and impress upon them the need to take care of this matter, because Oregon should not be paying for both Washington and California's share into this budget. The subcommittee approved continuation of five of the agency's 10 performance measures. Five measures were deleted that do not adequately measure the performance of the agency. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5510 as amended.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Frank Morris, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, sometimes it's good to look at the key performance measurements. And with respect to this agency, I would point out that the percentage of customers rating their satisfaction with the agency's customer service as good or excellent with respect to accuracy, 58%. With respect to availability of information, 67%. With respect to expertise, 50%. With respect to helpfulness, 67%. Overall, colleagues, 58%. With respect to timeliness, 58%. Colleagues, I recognize that this needs to be a bill that passes, but it's very difficult, Mr. President, to pass with these kinds of performances as has been indicated in the literature given to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Senator Walker, you wish to close?
Yes, Mr. President, and I do want to thank the good senator for bringing that up. We had a conversation about that, and that is why there was quite a bit of discussion about the performance measures. I will also indicate that there was discussion in our committee about maybe just getting ourselves out of the Columbia River Gorge Commission compact. That didn't seem like a logical thing to do, because the federal government would come in and do the things that they want to do in the Gorge Commission with probably against Oregon's wishes. Also, there are some legal requirements to that. So We looked at this budget very, very closely, and trust me, they didn't walk out of there standing the same way they came in. So I do encourage us to continue with this budget, but we will be watching it very closely. Thank you.
Question now arises upon the third reading in the final passage of Senate Bill 5510. Those the opinion bills to pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monzenderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, President Courtney. Excused, Burdick, Brzezinski, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, George, Cruz, Morse, 23 ayes.
The majority is declared passed. Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli. For what purpose you rise?
Mr. President, for a vote explanation relative to the last bill.
Please file that vote explanation.
Mr. President, I applaud and appreciate the work of the committee on the bill, and that is why I voted yes. But I want every member to absolutely understand that when I chaired the committee, the subcommittee, and actually chaired a committee that looked into the efficiency of the Columbia River Gorge Commission, we studied thoroughly the mythology of whether or not the federal government has any authority to step in behind the state of Oregon should Oregon or Washington conclude in their bi-state compact that they no longer wish to participate or be partners in that issue. There is no federal authority that would allow the Forest Service or any other federal agency to step in behind that bi-state compact and administer the Columbia River Gorge Commission. That is absolutely a myth that's been perpetuated in people's minds for years, but the fact of the matter is there's no federal authority. The only way the Gorge Commission can be operated is through the congressional approval of the bi-state compact. And if the states decide they no longer wish to participate, there is no way the Forest Service or any other federal agency can come in behind. So I just wanted to add that to my vote explanation and telling the colleagues here on the floor and others why I voted yes for the bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Explanation, Mr. President.
Please file your vote explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. My no vote was against the compact and the commission, not the exceptional work of the fellow legislators. It was an actually exceptionally good budget, but my no vote is against the compact and the commission.
The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 5531, Defense Administration Department of Land Conservation Development, Property Money Code Emergency.
And recognize Senator Vicki Walker, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Oh, boy. Get ready. This is the Department of Land Conservation and Development budget bill. Senate Bill 5531 is your budget bill for DLCD. This agency is responsible for adopting state land use goals, ensuring compliance of local land use plans with the goals, coordinating state and local planning, and managing the coastal zone program. It is also the state agency responsible for handling landowner compensation claims filed under Measure 37 and/or Measure 49. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a total budget of $25.4 million and 74.81 full-time equivalent positions. This funding level is a 12.5% decrease from the 2007-09 legislatively approved budget. The committee approved $5.3 million general fund to complete resolution of Measure 49 claims. This level of funding supports the program as expected to be modified by House Bill 3225,
that we'll see here pretty soon, which adds about 500 claims and a $175 fee for processing those claims, along with establishing a June 30, 2010 deadline for the issuance of most final orders. And I will say that the $175 fee was agreed to by all the interest groups because that's about what it would cost them to go to court anyway. Consistent with the co-chair's budget plan, the committee made a $3.7 million in general fund reductions, including $3.2 million in attorney general costs related to Measure 49 and $500,000 in the local government grant program. And I'll talk about that in a moment. The committee also added federal funds expenditure limitation and position authority to support flood hazard map digitization work and improve customer service, which is not so good. The committee approved the agency's performance measures as requested, which included one target change. The committee expressed concern regarding the agency's ability to manage and pay for what appears to be a significant policy workload during 2009-11. A sternly worded budget note was adopted directing the agency to report back to the legislature on its policy agenda and associated resource allocations. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5531 as amended, and now I'm going to go off the pony and give you my two cents. This is another agency that came into our committee, and I believe they left standing a little bit shorter than when they came in. I was very concerned with the customer service. I was very concerned with this agency's willingness to go take on these big projects instead of paying attention to their goal in the statute. Additionally, I was concerned about this $500,000 cut to the local grant program and would have preferred closing the agency's Bend office, which would have saved $800,000, but I was not supported on that effort. So this budget bill is as good as I could get it, and I will tell you we will monitor this agency very closely. One of my concerns in as co-chair of the Natural Resources Subcommittee are agencies who have told me they don't need extra staff to implement bills, policy bills. This happened a lot. Over and over again, and then they come back the next session and they say, oops, sorry, but we need some positions now to implement those bills. We said we could absorb the cost. This agency is one of the worst at doing that, so that is why you have a budget note that addresses that. It's not appropriate to get rid of this agency because it does perform the duties that we need them to perform, but we did look at them very carefully. So based on the hard work our committee did, I would urge an aye vote, and you're free to go off on it, but I would urge an aye vote because it is necessary to get this agency's budget moving. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Fred Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would just like to commend the good senator from Eugene. This is an odd bill for a Republican and an odd vote. This is an agency I don't think too many Republicans have much respect for, nor do they like. But after cutting in real dollars 12.5% of their budget, I think sends them a heck of a heads-up call, and I will be a yes.
Further discussion. Senator Walker, do you wish to close?
No, let's get it moving.
Question now rise on third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 5531. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Burdick. Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monzenerson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Przonski, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Morse, Nelson, Starr, Telfer, Whitsett, Winters, 18 ayes.
Senate Bill 5531, have received constant majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill, please.
Senate Bill 5533, Pennsylvania Administration Land Use Board of Appeals, Permanent Emergency.
Recognize Senator Vicki Walker, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was checking with the analyst. Here we go. Here's my last budget bill of the day, I think. Senate Bill 5533 is the budget bill for the Land Use Board of Appeals. The board has exclusive jurisdiction to hear appeals of land use decisions made by state agencies, local governments, and special districts. The board was established in 1979 to provide prompt, professional, and efficient resolution of land use issues and to create a consistent body of land use law. The committee approved a total budget of $1.7 million and 6 FTE. Consistent with the co-chair's budget plan, the committee made $20,000 in general fund reductions to services and supplies. The budget is a 1.8% increase over the 2007-09 legislatively adopted budget because it's a small agency and largely the increase is in employees, salaries, and those kinds of things. The committee also reviewed and approved the board's continuation of existing performance measures and targets. I will also say that we authorized some fee increases for this agency. We increased the filing fee from $175, I think, to $200. And we also imposed an intervener fee for the first time ever. In a lawsuit, when someone files a lawsuit, some people can intervene and they get to hitch a ride for free. I didn't think that was appropriate because the general fund needs to recover those costs. So there's an intervener fee now that will be implemented through this budget. Correct?
Right.
So I think I've carried it, Mr. President. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5533 as amended.
Thank you. Is there discussion on the measure? Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 5533. Those opinion bills are passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. President Courtney.
He's a yes.
Excuse, Brzezinski, Berger, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Cruz, Starr, Telfer, 17 ayes, 18 ayes, 19, 20, 21 ayes.
The Senate Bill 5533, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Ferrioli, for what purpose do you rise?
Vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please file your vote explanation.
Mr. President, I voted no, and I noticed a lot of lights changing, and I just wanted to clarify that I was participating in a vote, not an auction. Thank you, Mr. President.
The Secretary of the Senate has just informed me that you vote in order in which you were called. Please do not vote out of order. The clerk will read. Senator Cruz, for what purpose do you rise?
Yeah, vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please file your vote explanation.
Sometimes we create things with a design and purpose as to how they're going to work. Sometimes they don't work that way. I appreciate the concept of LUBA, but basically they just become another stopping point on the way to the Court of Appeals, and so it's just another hoop people have to jump through.
Clerk, will read the bill, please.
Senate Bill 5540, Finance Ministry.
I recognize Senator Martha Schrader, please.
Okay. Thank you, colleagues. I stand in support of Senate Bill 5540. This is the budget bill for the Department of Revenue. The department is responsible for the consistent application of property tax assessments and administration and enforcement of Oregon's income and cigarette and other tobacco tax laws. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved a total budget of $192.8 million, $157.9 million general fund, $34.7 million other funds, and 1,072 positions. The total funds budget is 3.6 above the essential budget level. To maintain and enhance the state's general fund revenue stream, the committee made limited budget reductions while adding 35 positions for targeted filing enforcement and compliance efforts. These resources are expected to bring in an additional $19.3 million general fund over the 2009-11 biennium. The reductions include the elimination of $5.2 million general fund in payments to counties for property tax administration. The committee acknowledged that this loss of funding could be burdensome on our counties and that county tax administration capacity should be closely monitored during the interim. The committee also added limited duration staff to the other agency accounts unit, which collects debt owed to other state agencies. This change will bring account caseloads down to a manageable level, allowing revenue agents to more thoroughly work those accounts. The committee reviewed and approved the agency's performance measures, which include a replacement measure for taxpayer contacts that was developed during the last interim. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 5540 as amended.
Recognize Senator Fred Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think it's important that I get my conservative credentials back, so after the last couple bills. Colleagues, I'll be a no on this, and I'll be a no for a couple reasons. One is, of the budgets that we're passing, this one has real dollar impact. It's up $7 million, and the number of FTEs that we're adding to the what would be the essential budget level is 45, 35 of which are going to conduct audits. And I don't think it's, I mean, it's one thing to go after people and tell them they have to pay more tax. It's another thing just to go out and harass taxpayers with audits. So I will be a no vote.
Further discussion? Senator Schrader, you wish to close?
No.
Motion to revise upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 5540. Those opinion bills pass. The ayes opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Monsenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Przonski, Starr, voting no. Atkinson, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz. 23 ayes.
Senate Bill 5540, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 79, will introduce a bill in declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Rob Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 79 comes to you from your Ways and Means Committee, who recommends its approval. The bill creates a task force on energy performance scores to create a voluntary energy performance scoring system for new and existing buildings by July of 2010, about a year from now. The bill directs the Department of Consumer and Business Services to develop and adopt uniform energy conservation standards in the state building code and to develop a REACH code separate from the existing building code that provides for additional energy efficiency in buildings that are newly designed, constructed, altered, or repaired. Additional other funds expenditure limitation needed by the Departments of Energy and Consumer and Business Services to implement this bill will be included in an end-of-session budget reconciliation bill. Senate Bill 79 will cut energy waste from buildings by from 10 to 25% by ensuring building codes are updated to increase energy efficiency. This bill will save Oregonians and businesses millions of dollars and increase Oregon's energy independence. I urge your aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion? Question 9, rise upon 30 in the final passage of Senate Bill 79. Those the opinion bills pass the House. Opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Lenz Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. President Courtney.
Yes.
Skews, Starr, voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Morse, Telfer, Whitsett. 20 ayes.
The Senate Bill 79, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read bill, please.
Senate Bill 91, Liquefied Petroleum Gas.
Recognize Senator Joanne Berger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 91 increases the fees for a number of activities relating to liquefied petroleum gas licensing and inspection program. Fees are implemented in two steps, first in 2010 and then a second increase in 2011. They are designed to provide adequate funding through the 2011-13 biennium. The bill also authorizes transfer of gas fitter licenses and gas truck equipment licenses. The fees that are increased include those related to installation, late fees, reinspection, and equipment. These fees were last increased in 2003.
Jackie.
The fee increase was requested by the Oregon Senate, the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office. They worked with stakeholders on this compromise bill, and, Mr. President, I urge an aye vote.
Is there discussion on this measure? Question now rises upon a third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 9-1. Those opinion bills passed. The others opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Ferger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Monroe.
Senator Monroe.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Starr. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Cruz. Telfer. Whitsett. 21 ayes.
Senate Bill 91, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 158, with health care and public money.
Recognize Senator Alan Bates.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 158 clarifies the roles, responsibilities, operating licensing requirements for certain health care facilities and home health agencies, including ambulatory surgical centers and providers, referral agencies, and caregiver registries. The measure establishes civil penalty authority and modifies the fee structures for licensing, survey, and investigation of these agencies and facilities to enable adequate oversight to ensure safety and quality of care. The bill specifies disclosure and consent provisions to assist patients in making informed decisions when selecting where to receive care. The bill authorizes the Department of Human Services to adopt rules governing organizational standards and quality of patient care for these agencies and facilities. The department is mandated to conduct on-site inspections of these facilities and agencies at least every 3 years. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommends approval of Senate Bill 158. This is a consensus bill from a work group. Good bill should pass. I urge your aye vote.
Discussion. Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 158. Those opinion bills pass. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Burdick. Starr. Voting no. Atkinson. Boquist. Ferrioli. George. Cruz. Telfer. Whitsett. 21 ayes.
The Senate Bill 158, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 161, in hospice programs, declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Jackie Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 161 establishes civil penalty authority and modifies the licensing, certification, and accreditation of hospice programs in Oregon. Currently, hospice agencies are not licensed. They are certified or accredited by three different organizations, which can be bureaucratic and confusing to the public and does not allow for adequate oversight and timely identification of problems. This bill establishes the authority of the Department of Human Services to license all hospice programs in the state to ensure consistent regulatory oversight. The bill authorized the department to adopt rules regarding requirements, qualifications, and fee for licensure. It requires DHS to conduct inspections at least once every 3 years. Mr. President, I recommend an aye vote. Thank you.
Discussion. Question now rises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 161. Those offending bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, President Courtney, Starr, excuse, Burdick, 20 ayes.
The Senate Bill 161, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 5291, DHS, declaring emergency.
I recognize Senator Jackie Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 529 requires the Department of Human Services to establish a position to act as a liaison between the department and communities in which the department plans to establish housing for individuals conditionally released by the Psychiatric Security Review Board or for individuals with mental illness. Outreach and communication is critical when planning the establishment of community-based housing. This bill codifies the department's ongoing efforts to involve all stakeholders in community placement process of the state's mental health system. Mr. President, I recommend an aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion? Question now rises upon a third reading. The final passage of Senate Bill 529. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, President Courtney, not answering, Bates, excused, Burdick, voting no, Atkinson, 20 ayes.
The Senate Bill 529, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 546, your motorcycles.
Recognize Senator Vicki Walker. I got used to the others.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was wondering if I had a new name. Currently, colleagues, to obtain the motorcycle endorsement to an Oregon driver's license, individuals under the age of 21 must complete a basic rider training course certified by ODOT. That course is currently Team Oregon, the number one ranked program in the country. And the course addresses such issues as effective turning, braking maneuvers, protective apparel selection, obstacle avoidance, traffic strategies, and maintenance. Senate Bill 546 creates new requirements related to motorcycle licenses and requires the Department of Transportation to phase in a motorcycle rider education course for persons 21 years and older. The bill also increases the motorcycle license fee by $10, which will generate $190,755 in other funds revenue for the 2009-11 biennium. The department anticipates that increased revenues will be directed towards the education requirement through a grant to Team Oregon. Senate Bill 546 also adds two questions to every automobile driver's license test on how automobile drivers should be aware of and react to those of us on motorcycles who get killed. So, according to Oregon Department of Transportation statistics, of 44,162 motor vehicle crashes reported in 2007, 743 of those involved motorcycles. That's less than 2%. However, of 455 traffic fatalities in 2007, 51 involved motorcycles. That's more than 10%. And usually when a motorcycle and an automobile meet, the motorcyclist does not win. According to Team Oregon statistics, about half of all Oregon driver's license motorcycle endorsements have been issued to course graduates, but in over 80% of 2008 motorcycle fatalities, the motorcycle operator had not taken the course. Colleagues, BikePak, one of the largest organizations, biker organizations in the state, is neutral on this bill, but the governor's Motorcycle Safety Advisory Committee is in strong support because, like me, they believe that we need a course to help provide riders with the necessary skills to safely ride a motorcycle and avoid the high degree of fatality among riders. Motorcycle riding is at an all-time high, more than double from 1999. The average age of new riders, colleagues, is 40. Now, I'm a little older than that, but the average age is 40. And I will tell you as an aside, my husband has a website, and on his website, which is frequented by a broad cross-section of riders and motorcyclists, 131 votes were cast, and 87.8% favor this bill. Not only that, this bill will create, I will tell you again, this bill will create 150 new jobs as the program expands and instructors are added in the phase-in period. So, colleagues, help me protect riders. Make us safe on the road. I've taken the course. It's fantastic. It made me be a better automobile driver. But most importantly, it has protected me out on the road from automobile drivers who don't see motorcycles, and also helps me negotiate curves and understand if I am over my own skill level. So, colleagues, thank you very much for your time and attention. I appreciate your aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion? Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 546. Those opinion bills pass. The House opposed. No. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Munoz Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Bates.
Aye.
Excused. Burdick. Voting no. Atkinson. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Cruz. 24 ayes.
The Senate Bill 546, having received a constant majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 700, Reintegration Veterans, declared emergency.
Recognize Senator Martha Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. President and colleagues. I would like to thank all of you for this opportunity to bring Senate Bill 700 to the floor. We are all very passionately concerned about the reintegration of our returning military men and women and their families into everyday life. These brave men and women face a variety of medical, employment, and family pressures when they return home. Our task is to ease that transition in order to thank them for their service. Most importantly, this task comes before us at a critical period in our state's military history. We all know we've just experienced the largest deployment of the Oregon National Guard since World War II. Oregon citizen soldiers have left their jobs, families, businesses, and homes to serve their country. When they return home, we must stand ready. Now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to construct the framework that will engage returning veterans and ensure their reintegration into our communities. During my time on the Governor's Task Force on Veteran Services, reintegration was one of our top priorities. Senate Bill 700 will allow our state to be the welcome home state by designing and implementing a comprehensive statewide strategy across all agency domains to ensure that our returning servicemen and women can obtain the comprehensive services they've earned. As they have been prepared to serve their country and their state, we must be prepared to serve their needs when they return, and I ask for unanimous support. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize. Well, let's just do this. You're going to close, right? Okay. Is there any discussion? Well, you are going to close now. So, Representative Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I'm generally not overly supportive of task forces. However, having a lot of experience in this particular area, I worked in the reintegration when we first brought battalions of the brigade back, was involved in the sidelines of the reintegration when we brought the 900 soldiers from the task force back from Afghanistan. And one thing that I have learned in the entire process is that 95% of the issues that arise coming back are issues of reminding the state and government of the things they're supposed to be doing. Only about 5% of the issues come from the private sector. The importance of this task force and the fact that we will have 3,000 citizen soldiers coming back in the summer of next year cannot be understated. This is probably one of the interesting task forces that will come out there that has almost no fiscal impact, but when you have 3,000 soldiers coming back, if we don't do the right things, the fiscal impact in the mental health care system, the hospital system, and everything else will be enormous. I urge a unanimous yes on this vote.
Question now rises by the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 700. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes-Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse, Burdick, 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 700, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 772, with the amendment 10 law and clerk property money.
Recognize Senator Suzanne Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 772A allows landlords to convert to certain utility and service billing methods. It prescribes procedures for conversion to revised utility and service billing, requires landlords to make utility billing records from preceding year available to tenant, requires Housing and Community Services Department to adopt rules and appoint advisory committee to assist in implementation of registration and continuing education requirements. It requires manufactured dwelling park landlords to register annually and assesses a $25 annual registration fee. It increases the maximum civil penalty for violation of registration or continuing education requirements from $500 to $1,000. It allows a lien against a park if a civil penalty assessment is not paid within 90 days. Allows temporary occupancy agreements between landlord and tenant. and specifies conditions, limitations, and contents of temporary occupancy agreements. Colleagues, this bill is a result of the work of the Manufactured Housing Landlord-Tenant Coalition, which has been in existence since 1997. The Joint Ways and Means Committee recommends approval of Senate Bill 772A. And I wanted to add from the Senate Consumer Protection Committee the four main points that this bill accomplishes. It encourages submetering of utilities and provides tenant protections regarding utility billings. It improves enforcement of the current landlord registration and education requirements. It sets out provisions to allow for temporary occupancy agreements so that landlords and tenants may agree to allow a guest to stay for longer periods than normal without actually becoming a tenant. And it also allows a political sign placement protection to residents to allow them to place a sign anywhere on their space, not just in their home. This is a coalition bill, as I explained, from the Manufactured Housing Landlord Tenant Coalition, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognized Senator Joanne Berger.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to declare a potential conflict of interest. I own a manufactured home in a park.
Your potential conflict of interest has been noted for the record. Further discussion? The question now arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 772. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montez Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger. Verger.
Senator Verger.
Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, President Courtney.
He's a yes.
Excuse, Burdick, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 772, having received a constitutional majority, declared to pass. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 778, on compensation of public officials, current emergency.
Recognize Senator Jackie Winters, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 700 from the 2007 legislative session reestablished the Public Officials Compensation Commission. The commission had the responsibility to review and make recommendations to the Legislative Assembly regarding the salaries of legislators, the governor, Secretary of State, Secretary Treasurer, Attorney General, Superintendent of Public Instruction, Commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries, and judges from the Court of Appeals, Supreme Court, Circuit Court, and Tax Court. The Commission recommended salaries were required to be included in the Governor's 2009-11 recommended budget and be submitted for legislative action before the current statutory salary provision sunset on July 1, 2009. Mr. President, given the current revenue situation, Senate Bill 778 will maintain current statutory salary levels for elected officials and retain the legal authority to pay legislators after July 1, 2009. Without Senate Bill 778, legislators would not get paid. The salaries are included in the essential budget level, so there is a minimal fiscal impact for the bill. Your Joint Committee on Ways and Means recommend approval of Senate Bill 778.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, a couple of evenings ago, I had the distinct pleasure of watching the committee that produced this bill under the able chairmanship of the carrier of the bill. And in the discussion about the bill, we had a recitation of the compensation for the statewide elected officials. And I would ask the carrier a question, Mr. President.
Will the carrier yield?
Yes, Mr. President.
The carrier will yield.
Would the carrier please just read the compensation of all the statewide elected officials and then read the section pertaining to legislators?
Mr. President, the annual salary of the chief judges of the Court of Appeals shall be $125,688 for the year beginning July 2001. The annual salaries of each judge of the Court of Appeals shall be $122,820 for the year beginning July 1, 2009. The annual salary of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court shall be $128,556 for the year beginning July 1, 2009. The annual salary of each other judge of the Supreme Court shall be $125,688 for the year beginning July 1, 2009. The annual salary of each judge of the circuit court shall be $114,468 for the year beginning July 2009. The annual salary of the judge of the Oregon Tax Court shall be $118,164. The incumbent of each of the following offices shall be paid an annual salary on a monthly basis as follows. Governor, $93,600 for the year and for each year thereafter. The governor shall also be paid $1,000 per month, regularly for expenses necessarily incurred but not otherwise provided for. Secretary of State, $72,000 for the year beginning July 1. The Secretary of State shall also be paid $250 per month, regularly for expenses necessarily incurred but not otherwise provided for. State Treasurer, $72,000 for the year beginning July 1, 2009. The Treasurer shall also be paid $250 per month. Attorney General, $77,200 for the year beginning July 1, 2009, and for each year thereafter, the Attorney General shall also be paid $250 per month for expenses. Superintendent of Public Instruction, $72,000 for the year beginning July 1, 2009. The superintendent shall also be paid $250 per month, regularly for expenses necessarily incurred. Commissioner of Bureau of Labor and Industry, $72,000 also, and shall also be paid the $250 per month. And let's see, I think we're trying to find what we are paid. And a member of the Legislative Assembly shall receive for services an annual salary established as provided in ORS 292-907 to 292-930 of the greater of, one step below, the maximum of salary range 1 in the management service compensation plan in the Executive Department as defined in ORS 174.112 or 17% of the salary of a circuit court judge.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the carriers answered the question and made my point perfectly. Every statewide elected officer's salary is called out by number. We know what the governor makes. We know what the superintendent of public instruction makes. We know what all the judges in the circuit court and the Supreme Court make. We know what the treasurer makes. But you know what? You have to be a math major to figure out that our salary is $1,801 per month. And, Mr. President, I think it's just a very interesting obfuscation that we are paid one step below the maximum salary range 1 in the Management Services Compensation Plan in the Executive Department as defined in ORS 174.112 or 17% of the salary of a circuit court judge. Try putting that on a loan application, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President. Thank you very much. I've made my point. I'll be voting aye for the bill. By the way, Mr. President, there is no raise for legislators in this bill. Thank you.
Set. We're standing at ease or something.
This is unusual. Senator Winters, you wish to close?
No, Mr. President, even though we're not getting a raise, I would encourage an aye vote.
Senator Ferrioli, I think I know what you're going to do. What purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, the question has occurred to members as to whether or not this is a conflict of interest. And, Mr. President, I would suggest that since we are all members of a class that we have no conflict of interest, others would argue that this membership has no class. So what I would ask from the president is a ruling to the effect of whether or not we need to, before voting, announce a conflict of interest. Thank you, Mr. President.
The reason we were at ease is because the Secretary of Senate was on by phone talking to Legislative Counsel, Dr. Johnson, who's informed her that we do not have a conflict of interest as we're all member of the class. Does that answer your question, Senator Farioli? So we have officially been notified just this moment by the Secretary of the Senate and our legal counsel, Dr. Johnson, that we do not have a conflict of interest on this measure as we are a member of the class. Question now arises upon a third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 778. Those opposed, your bills are passed. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Boquist.
No.
Burdick. Carter. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Berger.
Senator Berger?
She's on.
Senator Berger, how do you vote? You have to step in front of Berger. You've got to get inside the bar.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, 28 ayes. Voting no, Atkinson, Boquist, George, 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 778, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed.
Can you do this one in close? 2604.
What?
That's your next bill up.
No, we've already done that, I thought. 20. Well, no.
Vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please file your vote explanation.
Thank you. I voted for this bill. It was necessary to do so, but I appreciated the conversation here. If you think we get paid a lot of money, you are wrong. I think Oregonians someday need to take a look at this when we have better economic times, but it is quite a struggle for those of us who have regular jobs to find an employer who is willing to let us go. I was self-employed, so it was easy, but now I'm no longer employed. But to let us go for 6 months to come up here and do the people's work for $1,801 a month, it's really pitiful. So I'm not afraid to say it, and I've said it today. Thank you.
First reading of House measures. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2243 on regulation of licensing nursing home administrators promoting court emergency. House Bill 2386 on voter registration in court emergency. House Bill 2718 relating to women's veterans health care needs in court emergency. House Bill 3463 on ballot use in court emergency.
Is it passed the calendar? Third reading of House measures. Clerk reads the bill.
House Bill 2604 relating to individually identifiable health information.
Recognized Senator Floyd Przonski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, House Bill 2604B came out of your judiciary on a 5-0 vote. This basically is just going to set up a mechanism for those organizations in the health field to be required to have an annual report regarding the procedures they have for safeguarding individuals' identified information. There's also an exemption to this. If they are already covered under the federal HIPAA, then they would not need to report. There is a sunset on this of 4 years. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Question now arises upon a third reading the final passage of House Bill 2604. Those opinion bills passed. Aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Farioli. George. Gerard. Gerard.
Gerard.
Haas. Johnson. Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker,
Walker,
Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Farioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Starr, 24 ayes.
The House Bill 2604, having received custom majority, declared passed. We are now going to recess until 4 o'clock this afternoon. We will now go into recess to 4 o'clock. Please come back then so that we can dig into the schedule for the House measures. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson. For what purpose do you rise?
For the order of announcements.
Under announcements, what do you want to announce?
I would like to announce, colleagues and members of the Secret Society, the Floyd McMullen Fire Brigade, that at 2 o'clock today, we have our final, our last, the end of the session meeting at 2 o'clock in the secret lair. Thank you very much, Mr.
Any
President.
Any other announcements at this time? Senator Devlin, do you have any announcements?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Senate colleagues, Senate Democrats, get your lunch and bean in the caucus room at 12:15.
Senator Ted Farioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Republicans will caucus as before, but today we will caucus at 12:15. 12:15, time change, in the caucus room. Thank you, Mr. President.
I have appointed the following senators to the Conference Committee on House Bill 3089. Senator Dingfelder, Dr. Dingfelder, Senator Brian Boquist, Senator Floyd Brzezinski. The Senate now will go into recess until 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. this afternoon. Recognize Senator Jenny Burdick. For what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance and Revenue Committee will meet today at 1:15.
Senate will now be in, go into recess. Yes, Judy? Recognize Senator Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources, Ways and Means will meet at 1 o'clock today. 1 o'clock.
Thank you. I think now we'll really go into recess.